Well, I do have some good news for you. Maybe you were a little concerned for me, but my wife's family is from Henderson, Kentucky. Did you all know that?
No.
So she raised me upright, amen? we have fond memories of that place. They're gone. Many of them are gone. And no. That's one of the things on the mission field.
Right.
We're there.
Right.
And you're here.
Right.
Our family's here. And there are times we wish we could be here,
right,
but we can't. I do want to share something with you. With God's help, your dad was my friend. And he believed in us. And he supported us all the time. And we spent some good times. And that's some of the hardest things, because we know that many of our friends and preachers that we love and know, they're gone. Many of them are gone. And but their work carries on, amen? And so we're thankful for you, and I sense in you, brother, the same spirit as your dad. And that's precious. Amen. So I'm thankful for your help and your getting reacquainted with you again. And certainly, even tomorrow, Lord willing, we're going to be going over to Henderson. And we're going to see some family over there. And my wife gets to be able to go to her grandfather's graveside for the first time. And but we do have some videos. I did record him and her mamaw, and their testimonies of knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so we're thankful that we will see them again. Amen? So God is good. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And we're going to get into the Word of God today. And I hope it to be a blessing and a challenge to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, there's a wonderful testimony found here in the Word of God. And I hope that all of us will have this testimony about us. And this testimony about our families. And so I want to preach about being addicted to the ministry. Addicted to the ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 15. And we'll read down to verse number 18. And I want you to focus in, if you will, on the house of Stephanas. The house of Stephanas. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we bow before you this morning, we are so thankful, as we heard in song and testimony this morning, of how you blessed us with our salvation. We thank you for how you blessed us as a country, the great spiritual foundation and history that we have in our nation. And certainly, Father, every one of us that is here this morning, we're concerned about that. We're concerned about the future of our country. We're concerned about the future of our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren in this country. And so, Father, we call upon you, Lord, to help our nation turn back to you, Lord, that we can see true repentance and true revival in our land, Lord. We know it begins with us. It begins with your children, that if we would confess our sins, and if we would turn from our wicked ways and call upon you, Lord, you can bring revival to us and to this land. So, Father, again, we call upon you this morning because we depend upon you and you alone, Father, to deliver the Word of God. We pray for your Holy Spirit to have liberty in our midst, that our hearts would be attentive, that our ears would be open, Lord. But Father, help us to know that you call us not to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, obedient to the things that we hear. So Father, help us this morning as we hear this wonderful testimony of this family in the Word of God. And Father, how we would want our families to have the same testimony as fathers and mothers, as brothers and sisters in Christ in the church. Help us, Lord, to learn from this family and truly follow this example by your grace and the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Addicted to the ministry. We're going to get into this verse, but if you notice, it says they have addicted themselves to the ministry. I want to use this addiction, illustration from addiction to drugs, at the beginning of the message, and then we'll close out the message coming back to this illustration, because there's some very practical parallels there to find out, are we really addicted to the ministry? Number one, when we think about addiction, we start with the word habit. You see, drug addiction is described by the word habit. A habit is an overpowering desire or compulsion to do something. In this case, of course, to take drugs. And when it becomes overpowering, that it becomes a habit, then you do anything you can to be able to fulfill that desire. That's called a habit. But then there's another word that we learn, tolerance. Tolerance. This is described by law enforcement as the progressive decreased responsiveness to the drug. So that you have to keep taking more and more of the drug. First, you have a habit, which is a tremendous desire and a compulsion to take it. And you'll do that at any cost. Then you move into the tolerance stage, which means your body begins to tolerate that, and you still have that the desire, but you have to have more and more of it to be satisfied and to be fulfilled. That is tolerance. So we have habit, we have tolerance, and then last of all, we have dependence. Dependence is what happens in drug addiction is dependence, meaning as a, a psychic, psychological, physical dependence on the effects of the drug in order to function in life. So you've got the habit and overpowering desire and compulsion, then you take it to take it at any cost to be fulfilled. Then you have tolerance, which means you have to do it more and more to find that satisfaction. You have to increase the dose. And dependence is you cannot function normally without it. So think of those words: habit, tolerance, and dependence. We will come back to that at the end. And we want to make a practical application. But let's get into our text. The Bible says about this family, and I want to give you some characteristics here. How can we become addicted to the ministry? I beseech you, brethren, that you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. So the Bible's telling us that the house of Stephanas was the first fruits of that region, meaning also Corinth. If you go back, let's go to chapter 1. Hold your place here. Chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. And remember, Paul is, I use this verse a lot. I think it's very practical about baptism, how baptism does not save. Did you ever see this in the scriptures? Chapter 1, verse 16. Well, Paul is getting, he's talking to them about there's divisions in the church. We know the book of Corinthians, and there were so many problems in the church, and Paul's writing to correct those problems. And one of those problems was divisions. And he's also, he's using this in verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of the Paul, of Paul? And he says in verse 14, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name. And I baptize also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. Now, here's the key verse when it comes to baptism, in the sense, in relation to salvation. For Christ sent me not to baptize. Think about that. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, I want you to see this. There's a contrast there. Christ sent him not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Let us see this very clearly. Baptism and the gospel are separate issues. Baptism is not a part of the gospel. Amen?
Yes.
So he said that the house of Stephanas, he baptized them, but he said Christ sent him not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And he said to the Romans in chapter 1, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Baptism has nothing to do with the gospel, and the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Amen?
Amen.
And so I think it's a clear testimony, but we're dealing with the household of Stephanas. Now, when you think of the household, we're thinking of husband, wife, children, but also it could encompass the slaves of that household of that time, the servants of the household. It's talking about everybody within that household, within that family. And Paul was remembering about this man and his family. And the first thing we need to know, he's the first fruits. The first fruits. Now, it's a household as first fruits, meaning that he was saved. He was saved. So to be addicted to the ministry, very simply, number one, we need to be saved. Because what interest are you going to have in serving Christ if you do not know Christ? Now, take that in reverse order. Are you saved?
Yeah.
Well, what's your interest in serving Christ?
Yeah.
Amen? You know, he was saved, and the household of Stephanus, they were the first fruits, meaning God gave families. Just like you saw in this presentation of Botswana, of Francistown, Bible Baptist Church, of Palape, and out in Makobo and down in Mochuti, what you're seeing there are first fruits. Now, the first fruits come because when you get the first fruits, that's the promise of the fruits that's going to come after the first fruits. Amen? So God gives you the first fruits to show you how good the rest of the crop's going to be. Amen? And so this is what God did in Corinth. This is what God does in Botswana and on the field, on the mission field. He's giving first fruits because there's going to be more fruit. Amen? That's encouraging. And this is what it's all about, folks. I want you to understand that where the gospel is preached, souls should be saved, and they are the first fruits of that area. But God doesn't want us to stop there. Do you think Stephanus, when he got saved, he was, you know, sitting, soaking, and souring? You ever hear that? You sit in the pew, you soak it in, and you sour because you never give it out. Yeah. And we got a bunch of soured Christians. Why? Because they're sitting, they're soaking, and they're souring. Instead of knowing the purpose while we're saved, why have we been blessed as a nation? Why are we blessed as individuals? So that we can be a blessing. That's what the Bible says, that God preached the gospel unto Abraham, saying that in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed, and thou shalt be a blessing. Are you saved? They were the first fruits. They were saved. And those first fruits are designed to bring more fruit. Amen? And I think that's how churches are established. That's how the work of the ministry, even here in America, and this is where we ought not to lose vision. Because what do churches normally require of missionaries? They require what? Mission reports. And what do you look for in those mission reports? Now, I'm positive on this. Don't get me wrong. You want to see some souls saved, amen? You want to see some baptisms. You want to see some churches. You want to see some fruit. Amen? Now, what about here? Where's your report? Amen? Now that's what I'm getting at. It's good for you, it's good for me, it's good for all of us, because we're saved and we're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. He owns us, he created us, he bought us back, and we belong to him, and we're part of doing his work. So we must be saved if we're going to be addicted to the ministry. Are you saved? Number two, go back to our text. Chapter 16, again. What did I do with that water, brother? Sorry.
I don't know.
It's here. And it's still full. That means we got a long time. Some just said no. What was it? Man, this. Now I have to give you 5 years worth. Because I may not come back for another 5 years. Are you ready for the worm now? You're ready for the worm because you need some protein, amen? So we see that they were the first fruits, they were saved. And we thank the Lord. If we are saved, there's a desire to do something for God. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves. Now look at this. to the ministry of the saints. If you are to be addicted to the ministry as God wants you to be, number one, you need to be saved. Number two, you need to serve the saints. Are you serving? Now, I want you to look at this language here. Because a lot of times, what do we do in churches? Are you with me?
Yes.
A lot of times, we're waiting for someone to come and ask us to do something.
Right.
And so we sit here and we wait. But what does the Bible say? Did the house of Stephanas wait on someone to come and say, hey, I think you can do this for God, or I think you should do this for God? Young people, their family didn't wait for someone to come ask them whether they should serve God or not. The Bible says here they addicted themselves to the ministry. This means they themselves devoted themselves to the ministry. It wasn't someone else coming in to ask them to do this. And they made that decision. Are you still waiting for that official appointment? Guess what? You're going to be sitting there and waiting. The years, the days, the years, the months, the years are going to pass. And you're going to look back and say, what did I do for Christ?
Right.
The older you get, time goes faster, doesn't it? And you're just wondering, where what happened today? Where did today go? Where did this week go? Where did this month go? And then you start saying, where did these years go?
Right.
You have to addict yourself to the ministry. They were not assigned. They were not appointed. They were not commissioned by anyone else. They were not called by anyone else. They devoted themselves to serve others in the church. And in the work of God. Look what they did to the missionaries. Verse 18. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. They were an encouragement. Amen.
Yes.
They were encouraging others to keep their eyes on the Lord. They were encouraging others to keep serving God. And to be a blessing to other people. And that's what Christianity is all about. Jesus did not come to be served, but to give his life in service to others. He didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister.
Right.
That's the same word, serve. So they addicted themselves. Someone has said in the early church, willing and spontaneous service was the beginning of an official office. A man became a leader of the church, not so much by any man-made appointment, as because his life and work marked him out as one who of all men must respect. Of those who share the work and toil of the gospel, command respect, not because they've been appointed by a man to an office, but because they are doing the work of Christ. And that's the idea. You know, don't sit here and say, one day I hope to be a deacon. No. You know how it was in Acts 6? Just look at the characters. These men were already serving Christ.
Yes.
Amen? They were already servants. It wasn't, okay, when I get elected to be the office of a deacon, I'll start serving.
Yes.
No, they were already servants. Amen? They were already doing the work of the service in the church, and they commanded the respect of the brethren and said, these are our deacons. These are the men we're going to appoint over this business. But we must give ourselves continually to prayer.
Yes. Amen.
And the ministry of the word.
Right.
And so, don't wait. Start serving.
Amen.
Get busy serving. Now, one thing about this word, that word ministry, to the ministry of the saints, is the same word we get deacon out of. And it is found throughout the New Testament, translated as deacon, but also as serve and as ministry.
Right.
Now, when we apply this, we could see in the New Testament some verses that I want you to think about. How do I serve others? If I'm going to addict myself to the ministry, if I'm going to devote myself to the service of other saints, we have to think about this. 1 Corinthians 12, it's right here, close by. Look at verse 5. Are you with me? I can't hear the Bible. Let's hear the pages. Come on. Not just the phones. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, 5. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. That word administration is the same word, the same root word as serve, as deacon. And when you start going down, there's a list of spiritual gifts, and we know all the sign gifts are now obsolete. They have ceased. Because that which is perfect has come. That which is in part is done away. They prophesied in part. Amen. They had knowledge in part. That was revelatory knowledge. And now that which is perfect, perfect, complete revelation, that which is in part has ceased. So we see spiritual gifts is a way that you serve others. And in Romans 12, we're not going to go there. There's a list of gifts that are active today.
Right.
To serve where? In the body. The church, 1 Corinthians 12, is a body. Romans 12, the church is a body. And we all have been gifted. We all have abilities assigned to us by God at salvation. It goes beyond just your talents. Amen? You do have talents and abilities that you're born with. But he's still your creator. So he gave them to you anyway, amen? By virtue of creation. But at salvation, when we're born again by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God comes in and takes residence in us, and we become the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, we have a gift that is spiritual that only comes from him because of salvation. And with that gift, you glorify Christ in the body, which is his church. And it's local. It's never invisible. Amen? It's never universal. There's no such creature, monster in the Bible. It's a local, visible body of baptized believers. But we all have gifts. Are you using that in the church? You say, I don't even know. What is my gift? Let me give you some practical advice. Don't sit here and say, well, brother, I don't know what my gift is, so I can't serve God. You know what you do? You go to the nursing home. You go to the prisons. You come to church activities. You start getting involved in the school, and you start doing things in the church. And you know what? You keep walking down that path and you stay active in God's church. And one day you're going to look back and say, now I know what he called me to do. Because God will guide a moving object. But when you're sitting in your pew doing nothing, God can't lead you and guide you. And when you're out there, remember, how do you grow in knowledge of the Word of God? Study. But how are you going to know what to study? You know how? Go out there. Start talking to the coworkers. Start dealing with families. Start dealing with people with problems. And you're like, I got to get home and get in the Word of God. Because you do it by the way of exercising. Right. Spiritual exercise. Hebrews chapter 5. You need to be exercised and know the knowledge of God because you're out there really trying to meet needs and preach the word and teach the word. And you got to get on your knees at home. God, give me the truth. I need to deliver it.
Amen.
Again, you don't get it just because you sit here in the pew.
Yes.
Now, it's nothing wrong with sitting in the pew. See, don't take this out of context. Brother Kastner said, you know, we ought not to be in church. He said not to sit in the pew. Now, that's not what I'm saying, amen? What I'm saying is the goal of preaching and teaching of the Word of God is not knowledge. Are you with me?
Yes.
The goal of teaching and preaching is obedience.
Yes. Yes.
And that's where we've lost it in America. Two things I always say in Africa at every service. And so it may be a little different format. Uh-oh. It's a little different format, preacher. At the end of the service, you will have the opportunity to say what you learned from the passage of Scripture today and how are you going to put it into practice
right.
in your life.
Right.
Now, let me ask you, if you had to stand up after this message, not have to, we don't require it, okay? It's voluntary, but let's just put it this way. What if you had to stand up now after, and you knew you had to stand up and say what you learned and how you're going to apply it, how will you listen now? And that's what I'm getting at. We need to listen so that we can put it into practice. We need to listen so that we're assimilating, we're integrating the Word of God for daily use, not just for knowledge. Knowledge does what? Even in Corinthians, he said, it puffeth up. But love edifies. Why? Because love is service. Love is sacrifice. And so it edifies, but knowledge, we're going to sit here and say, well, we know the truth.
Right.
And we got too many churches who know, they do know the truth. And bless God, they know the truth. But what are you doing with the truth you know?
Right.
You think God's going to just give us a reward because we knew all the truth?
Right.
Or is he going to give us a reward because we obeyed the truth that we knew and we lived the truth that we knew? And we see other souls saved because of our life.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
So when we look into the Word of God and you start, and you can do this on your own, the word ministry, go through that in the New Testament and start putting it all together. But let me give you some thoughts. Spiritual gifts are the way that you serve others. Giving
yes.
is the way that you serve. That same word, remember over there in Acts 11 when there was, in Jerusalem, there was a drought and there was, they needed to send relief.
Yes.
And it was the ministration.
Right.
And that ministration was the same word, service.
Yes.
Giving is service. When you come and you give your gifts, you are serving the Lord.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
And when you're meeting needs and other people, you're serving the Lord. Remember that scripture over there in the Gospels where it talks about, Lord, when did we clothe you and when did we give you a drink?
Right.
And he said, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Giving and teaching the Word. That's what he said. I already quoted that in Acts 6:4. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word. This is service.
Yes.
All of you teachers in the church, you're serving.
Yes.
When you open the Scriptures and you encourage someone, when you open the Scriptures and you witness to someone, you are serving.
Yes.
Over there in 2 Corinthians chapter, or 2 Timothy 1:16,
yes.
actually, it's speaking about encouragement. When you encourage through counseling, building people up, you're edifying them. It is also a ministry. It is a service. And then, get this, hospitality. Southern what?
Hospitality.
What are we known for? What should you be known for down here? Hospitality. But let's put it in the biblical context. You are opening up your home. You're blessing someone else with the purpose of helping them spiritually. Amen.
Yes, amen.
So do we have some things to think about? Are we addicted to serving?
Yes.
Are we truly serving with our spiritual gifts? Are we giving? Are we teaching and preaching the Word? Are we encouraging? Are we hospitable in the biblical way? They addicted themselves to the service of the saints. And even in this passage, the house of Stephanus, Stephanus was a man who refreshed the saints. Amen. He refreshed the servants of God. I wonder what it's going to be like for those at the judgment seat of Christ who've been nothing but a thorn in the flesh to the preacher. Complaining and murmuring, always seeing the little problems here and there and always reminding about those things, but you've never taken time to encourage and to build up. Are you with me? If you're not with me, I got to keep preaching. So you better start saying amen. So the sum total of this, serving the saints means using our spirit, giving food, giving encouragement, teaching the word of God. Close by, let's go to Colossians chapter 4. Remember what Paul said about this ministry. Let's keep this in mind as we serve the Lord, because you know what, brethren? Let's be honest. Let's be honest. It is sacrificial. Yeah. Serving God is sacrificial. You know why? Because how many people say thank you? Right. You're going to be doing service unto people that may never say thank you in this life. And that's where you get discouraged, don't you? You can get, say, well, you know, I'm just bitter right now. I'm angry and, you know, I'm offended and no one ever says thank you for the things I do. But let me tell you, he is not forgetful, Hebrews 6 says, he's not forgetful to see your love and the good works you do, and he's going to reward you for it. God sees it. And that's the most important thing. You're serving Christ. Amen? Colossians 4:17, so I encourage you in this light and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry, which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Brethren, every one of us should be addicted to the ministry of the saints, and we should fill it up in our life. There's no limit. Amen? Because the needs are great and the needs are everywhere. And the more you put yourself out there, and this is where I'm trying to help you this morning, because you probably put yourself out. Now you're like, man, you know, it's not worth it. Yes, it is. Because remember, you're doing it for Christ. Amen? Keep that in mind. So if you fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will love his children and love the saints, and you will serve them. Let's go back to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Not only do you have to be saved if you're addicted to the ministry, you have to be serving if you're addicted to the ministry. But the scriptures teach us here that you have to be submitted. Submitted. Now this is a word that we all need to learn. Because this is how the church should look. What we're going to talk about in a moment. Not what we see in a lot of churches, but this is how it should look. Verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth us with us and laboreth. And then he says, I'm glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. You see that? They've refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Submit yourselves. This is what the church is called to do. And this is so practical. Why? Because you have individuals and you have families. You have households that are out there serving God with everything. And the Bible says, here's what it should look like. You get under such, you submit yourself to such, and you help them, and you do the same things.
Right.
Now, what does it normally look like? And how do we get ourselves into trouble? When it's a power play.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, I don't want them in this position. I want to be in this position, so I got to get up there.
Right.
How's that going to end? You think that's going to help the church? You think that's going to help the ministry? You think that's going to help people out there want to come down here to this church and get saved and get baptized and become members of this church? It's not.
Right.
Brethren, what I'm talking about is an attitude of humility, an attitude of submission that you can serve.
Yeah. Right.
And let me just tell you about Philippians chapter 2 when Jesus, when God became man, he became a servant. He didn't act like a servant. He was a servant. He was a servant. So we're not asking you to do something that Jesus never did himself. Amen. And he's not going to ask you to do something that he didn't do himself. And he did it perfectly. And you know what he does? He puts his spirit in you to help you do it like him. Amen. Think about submission in the church. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. That's submission. 1 Timothy 3:4, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. That's submission. 1 Peter 2:13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. That is submission. Hebrews 13:7, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Do you ever think about that verse? Did you think about that verse? It's saying that at the judgment, the preacher is going to give an account for your souls. And he wants to do it with joy. But if you have not submitted, he's going to have grief and it's unprofitable for you. Not for him. For you. Now that's an important verse in the church. And in the ministry, I would say, man, how many people, in fact, you know, one of the things that really broke my heart recently about the work in Africa was a 42-year-old man that they buried just recently in my absence, who was saved and just thought things ought to be different in the church. And he left the church. And he took his precious wife and six children out of the church against their own will, against their own desire. And if you knew that man, he was a brick maker and builder. Literally, they make bricks with their own hands down there. You would say, you know, he stands ahead above many people. He's strong and healthy. He didn't have HIV, and that's one of the things I didn't talk to you about, but many people are plagued with HIV down there. Some of them are born, a lot of them are born with it out of, not because of promiscuity or sinfulness, immorality, but because they're born with it. But he got upset one day and left the ministry, brother. and he's gone. And I had, you know, a heartache when he left. My wife knows all about it. Wives know a lot.
Yes.
Carry a lot. But I was like, I can't believe he died. I won't ever get to see him again. I won't even get to. And so many times someone said that we saw him and he said he's going to come back to church. And we saw him here and there and saw his wife and children and he never came back. Do you see what I'm getting at? There's going to be grief if that man is saved. When I get there at the judgment seat of Christ and as his pastor at that moment for that time of his life, certainly I will not have joy for what happened and the way he went out of this world. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. We all, listen to me, we all, as a missionary, I'm submitted to my home church. I'm submitted to my pastor. We all have a submission. We all have to walk in humility. We all have to live in submission. I need to put myself, if I'm wise, under someone else in the ministry, so to speak, and be accountable. Are you with me? Now, if that's good for me, it's good for you.
Right.
Do you understand what discipleship is in the Word of God? It's you putting yourself under someone else and becoming a better follower of Jesus Christ. And that's what discipleship is in the church. Who are you under now, right now? Who is under you?
Right.
And are we all pointing people to Christ? Right. What did Paul say? Follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Jesus. Amen? So folks, we are supposed to be making disciples. We're supposed to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be involved in this process of growing, of becoming mature believers. Yet, we want to do it without submission. We just want to jump right up into that position. It doesn't work that way in the Word of God. And when you think about who is greatest in the kingdom, what did Jesus say? The greatest of all is servant of all.
Yes.
The greatest of all,
yes,
is servant of all.
Yes.
And that comes with this humility and submission. I guarantee you, remember, you think, how did Stephanus relate to the Apostle Paul? He was under him and he labored, he refreshed him, he encouraged him. He was alongside of him, helping him in the work of God. He was submitted under, and they said, now you submit unto Stephanus because that's the kind of believer you ought to be. That's the kind of family you ought to be. His whole household serving Christ. His whole house, what did it say? Hold on. They have addicted themselves to the ministry. It's not just mom and dad coming to church, teenagers. Hello. Wake up. Eat some worms. Children, it's not just mom and dad serving Christ in the church. It's you, you, and you, and you serving. Where are you serving? Who are you serving? Who are you serving? Where are you serving? They've addicted themselves. They have addicted themselves. It's everyone. It's all the families getting involved in the church. It's everyone with this mentality of humility and submission unto God and unto one another. Oh, what the church would be like. What would the ministry be like if we all had this attitude of Jesus Christ himself, of humility, submission. Now, I told you, I'm coming back to that illustration. And I want to get back there. Because in a very practical way, I want to ask you this morning, are you
addicted to the ministry? Are you like the house of Stephanas? We talked about three words, didn't we? First of all, the word habit. Habit, my friend, is a desire. Habit is an overwhelming desire. It's a compulsion, an inner compulsion. What did Paul say? Necessity is upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. It was a compulsion. Let me ask you, are you with me?
Yes.
Is there an inner desire to serve? Listen, if you have no desire to serve Christ, you have not heard his voice, and you're not following the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Listen, you have to have an inner desire. We're not talking about the good old boy club. We're not talking about I've always been a Christian. And we're not talking about my grandpa's a Christian and my mom and dad are Christians. Well, listen, God has no grandchildren.
Right.
You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to know God through Jesus Christ. It has to be real in you. It has to be personal, a personal relationship, a personal decision. And you need to know him, and you need to know that you know him.
Yeah.
Is there a desire? Amen? Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about something that ought to be in all of us. I'm not talking about missionaries and pastors. I'm talking about all born-again believers. Do you have an overpowering desire and compulsion? Now get this. So that you pay any price to get it done. Go back to addiction. They're willing to pay anything and everything. They're desperate to fulfill that habit. Are you that way in the service of God? Are you addicted? Does it push you beyond that which seems reasonable at times? The second word is tolerance. Isn't this like, I can compare it to reading your Bible, right? You begin reading your Bible, and the more you read your Bible, the more you want to read your Bible. Amen?
Yes.
And so when you get to serving Jesus, and you get to serving in the church, the more you want to serve him, the more you want to do for him. It's never enough.
Right.
Amen? Yeah. It's never enough. There comes a time where you say, you know, I've been doing this for a while, and I've been doing this a long time, but I need to grow. I need to put myself out there. I need to do more sacrificial service for God. So I think if you're addicted, you are going to want to reach out further and grab more of it. Amen?
Yes.
The truth is this. The more you get involved in the Lord's work, the more you realize what's not getting done. That's why, you know, preachers, you know who they rely on most? And this ought not to be like this only. And I want to give you some help here this morning or this afternoon. They rely on those who are already busy serving God. Because you know why? They know they're going to keep going and they're going to get the job done. That's what I'm talking about here. We need some people who get involved in the Lord's work and start seeing things. Man, I got to do this, and have initiative and take it upon yourself. They addicted themselves to the ministry. Start seeing where you can make a difference, where you can help, where you can submit and get involved in the church. You thought your preacher was loud, didn't you? And the last word is dependence. You ought to get to the place in the Lord's work where, in order to function normally, you got to be doing the Lord's work. And when you're not doing the Lord's work, you have terrible withdrawals. Are you addicted to the ministry? Are there ever a time? Is there that inner compulsion, that desire to do something for God? Is there a time where you say, you know, this isn't enough, and I got to get involved over here, and I need to keep growing in this? And then are you sitting there and saying, you know what? I'm not serving God like I should. I'm not praying like I ought. I'm not reading my Bible. You know what? I'm not even involved in any ministry of this church, and I'm a member of this church. I have withdrawal symptoms. I need to do something for God. Sometimes the church may say, preacher, you know, we think you ought to take a vacation, you know, and just get away. You need to relax. And the preacher says, you know what? You know, it's been a long time, and you know, I think I'm going to take you up on that. We're going to go. And then the preacher's over there, and he said, what can I do for God? What are the needs? I can't sleep tonight because my mind won't shut down, because I'm thinking about these people. I'm thinking about their needs. I'm thinking about the Lord's church. You're addicted to the ministry. We're addicted to the ministry. Are you addicted to the ministry? And I ask you, brethren, does the Lord deserve any less? Amen? He deserves a bunch of families addicted to the ministry. He deserves a bunch of teenagers addicted to the ministry. He deserves a bunch of children addicted to the ministry. He deserves a church addicted to the ministry. Because he came not to minister, but to minister unto and give his life for you and me. Praise God. Are you saved? Are you serving? And are you submitted? Amen? Amen? May God work in this service. Will you stand with me? Will you stand with me? Someone has already come. Will you join? Will you join in prayer? We don't have to do it the traditional way. We don't need music. Just, you can play, brother. I'm just saying. You can step out right where you are right now. Come down to this altar. And preacher, one of my burdens in America, I notice the altars have been empty. But I thank God some have stepped out this morning. I'm like, God, what's going on in America? We need revival. We need repentance. We need to get right with God. And we need our altars full again of people who are weeping, people who are getting a hold of God. People are saying, you know what? I'm not doing enough for Jesus. I'm not serving enough for Jesus. Certainly, I'm not addicted to the ministry. I may be addicted to the lake, to fishing, to sports. Some, yay, to alcohol and drinking and drugs. But what a shame if we never come to the place where you are recognized before the Lord as being addicted to the ministry of the saints. I ask you, the description in heaven, just go read Revelation 19, 20, 21, 22, you start seeing we are going to serve him day and night. Amen. Let's do it here. Amen. Let's be addicted to the ministry, to serving Jesus, to serving the saints. Will you come? Will you come? Maybe you've used to do these things. You used to be plugged in serving God. You used to even have that inner desire to do more for Jesus. But right now, other things have crept in, stolen away that desire. That's why Paul says to the Colossians, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Will you come? Maybe you let those desires slip and you want to put them back on the Lord and his work and his church. Maybe you need to come and say, preacher, what can I do? You don't have to do it right now, but maybe this week, give the preacher a call and say, God spoke to my heart. I want to get more involved in the ministry. Will you give me some guidance and counsel? I want to serve Christ more. Why don't you do that? And you know what? God will use you. God will bless you in a great way. I'm going to turn this over to the preacher. Let us continue in prayer, and he can lead as God leads him and close out the service this morning.